Centre for Public Christianity. You're listening to Life and Faith. I'm Simon Smart.
And I'm Natasha Moore.
We're coming up to Easter, and I remember trying to explain the Easter story to my kids when they were little, and this is not easy. This is not a kid's story. There's a whole lot of death and blood and brutality and sacrifice.
Yeah, there's quite a contrast between the bunny costumes and the Easter egg hunts and the story that gave rise to it all. But nevertheless, churches across Australia will be holding services this Friday, Good Friday, to remember the death of Jesus on the cross. And then again on Sunday, in celebration of an empty tomb.
This idea of sacrifice in particular can be quite dark. How does a violent and horrific death go hand in hand with ideas like forgiveness, reconciliation, love? Colonel Craig Bickell has served in the Australian Armed Forces for the last 27 years, and he's a Christian. So sacrifice is something he's thought about quite a bit over the years. But firstly, we wanted to know what it was that actually drew him towards a career in the army.
I remember quite clearly my parents cutting out an article in the local community newspaper about a cadet unit in Wanneroo in Western Australia, in Perth, that was advertising for cadets. And my parents thought it'd be a good thing, and I went along to this cadet unit. And right from that very moment, I found that it was something that really inspired me. It was something that I really enjoyed, made some great friends, and I learned a lot about the Army in that cadet environment. I then served for a short time in the Army Reserve as a gunner in an artillery unit in Western Australia, and then successfully applied to join the Defence Force, and then went through officer training. So that was really over 28 years ago now. So it's a long time ago. But it really was that initial news article that drew me into the Army cadet system.
Isn't that amazing? I often am struck by the Defence Force ads, which are very good, I have to say. Even makes me think this could be exciting. I'm going to guess that it isn't always quite as it's depicted in the ads, but has it sort of lived up to what you'd hoped?
It certainly has. I think the terms dream come true are apt in my experience. It's provided me great opportunities to serve my country, which was the original inspiration for me joining. I've been privileged to serve overseas in Kuwait for a short period of time, in East Timor on two occasions, once in 2000 and then again in 2006, and then in Afghanistan twice, once in 2009 for 6 months, and then most recently last year for 12 months on a posting. So I've certainly had the opportunity and the privilege to deploy on operations and serve in a variety of different roles that have been very diverse, and it really has exposed me to a great team of people in lots of different environments and great leaders, and I've been able to develop my own leadership skills in that environment. So it's been great.
Craig, the culture of the armed forces is quite distinct in a lot of ways from the culture of mainstream Australia. Mm. You know, you think of values like obedience and self-sacrifice and discipline. They don't necessarily play a large role in just most Australians' lives. Mm. Are there ways that army leaders deliberately try to cultivate those qualities, or maybe struggle to cultivate them against the prevailing culture?
I think the main principle of leadership that we apply in the army is to lead by example and to demonstrate through our words and actions the behaviours that we want to see from amongst our serving soldiers, sailors and airmen and women. So I think leadership by example is critically important. I think the Army does a great job in selection of its people. It's looking for certain qualities, particularly of character, of a sense of wanting to serve Australia. And so those core elements are then brought into the recruiting system, where they're shaped and moulded in a way that can build a team and teach people skills that they then are required to use on operational service.
Craig, you seem to think that Christian faith has something to offer the Defence Force. What role or value does it have in your world, in this military world?
Really, it's a great source of individual morale, particularly in times of adversity or stress, which, as you'd appreciate, and many serving soldiers and defence personnel do experience great stress and adversity, particularly on operations when they're away from their family and friends, and they're in a very stressful environment. There was a famous general who became a field marshal that is quite influential in army leadership circles, an officer by the name of Field Marshal Slim. As young officers and staff cadets at Duntroon were exposed to one of his key books, which is called Defeat into Victory. And in one of his most influential chapters, he describes what makes up the components of morale, and it's spiritual, physical, and moral. The spiritual aspect is not exclusively religious, but Slim did make the point that the Christian religion has, above all others, been one of the most enduring sources of morale, and therefore it does contribute to the fighting power and combat capability of the army, and that's been demonstrated through history.
It is Easter week, and so I want to ask you specifically about this idea of sacrifice. This is a really central concept both to the Christian faith and to the military. How has your experience in the military kind of given you insights or changed how you think about the idea of sacrifice?
Sacrifice implies that there's a cost. There's a cost to something. And I think most, if not all, servicemen and women, particularly those that might have experienced operational service overseas, and importantly also their families that they've left behind and their loved ones, have experienced the idea of this service costing something, be that not being able to see their loved ones on a regular basis because they're deployed, or the physical or mental or what some are calling moral injuries that come from operational service, and indeed up to the point of sacrificing one's life. So I think service men and women, service families, are very much attuned to the idea that sacrifice involves cost. And equally with the Christian gospel, the costliness of Christ's death on the cross is central to the good news, in that Christ willingly went to the cross, laid his life down for us so that we might have a restored relationship with God. But that costs something, and that costs Christ's life on the cross. So leading up to Easter and, you know, not far after that, to Anzac Day, there's that centrality of sacrifice that is true for both the experience of Australian servicemen and women, but also for Christians.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity.
We're speaking with Craig Bickell. He's a colonel in the Australian Army and a Christian. And his journey to faith involved a stained glass window, something called warrior's guilt, and meeting the love of his life.
I guess to set the scene a little bit, I, you know, grew up not really having a true understanding of the Christian gospel. I went to an Anglican boys' school in Perth. I guess learnt the virtues of the Christian faith. Started to meet people in my career and outside that were great and positive role models from a Christian perspective, in that they modelled values that I aspired to. Things like, you know, adherence to an ethos of duty and of honour and of country that I'd read about and wanted to emulate. And that's, I guess, what first intrigued me about the Christian faith. I'd also met my now wife, Tracy, who also intrigued me, given her real, true and strong faith.
Is it because of her that I understand you did go to church for some time but didn't think of yourself as a Christian?
Yeah, absolutely. I started going along to a church and I also started investigating the historical reliability of the Gospels. And I was a historian. I'm a historian by background academically. And so having some confidence that I could rely upon the Bible from a historical perspective was really important to me personally. So I investigated that and I came to a point where I had been convinced of the historical reliability of the Bible. God, I guess, took me on a journey for about 10 years, and it was, I think, at the end of 2002 where really this all came to a head. I remember reading a book that was quite influential in the profession of arms. It's a book called Gates of Fire by Stephen Pressfield, and it's a historical fiction, and it talks about this sense of the warrior's guilt. And if I can read briefly a short section from that book. There is a secret all warriors share, so private that none dare give it voice, save only to those mates drawn nearer than brothers by the shared ordeal of arms. This is the knowledge of the 100 acts or omissions where he or she has fallen short. The little things that no one sees. The comrade who fell and cried for aid. Did I pass him by? Choose my skin over his? That was my crime, of which I accused myself in the tribunal of my heart, and there condemned myself as guilty. And so I guess I was left with some of my experiences with that sense of guilt of the acts or omissions associated with my service. And so I was travelling with the then Minister for Defence back in 2002 to the Army's Recruit Training Centre down in Kapuka. The officer that was taking the minister around the base took the party to the chapel, which had been built in 1993 by Army engineers, or sappers as we call them. And I recall seeing at that time this stained glass window that was depicted there. And it's it depicts a soldier who's clearly travelled a great distance. He's travelled down a long road. He's been patrolling, possibly trying to protect himself from some unseen foe. And he's got to a point where he's clearly exhausted. He can go no further. And the reason for that is because of the weight of the pack that he's been carrying for some time. He's stopped and he's put his pack not just anywhere, but he's placed it down on a hill where clearly he'd started walking towards some time ago. And on that hill is the cross of the crucified Christ that is looking down upon this soldier. And this soldier has placed his pack down at the foot of the cross. And the pack is symbolic of the burdens of not only the duties and responsibilities that this soldier has in his job, but also, I think, is symbolic of some of that warrior's guilt that he feels that he can no longer carry. And that image is, I guess, is symbolic for me of a verse in Scripture, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And for me, that really struck me at the heart, in that I realised that I'd never really asked Christ for forgiveness. I'd never repented. I'd never really asked Jesus to be my Lord and Saviour. And so that was really what caused me to do that. That image was quite influential in my eventually committing myself as a Christian and asking Jesus to be my Lord and Saviour and to forgive me. And from that point on, I repented. I tried to right the wrongs that I'd done and re-establish relationships. It's really given me a sense of assurance, and it's been the rock that has been the basis of my morale.
Now, Craig, it's probably an obvious question to ask someone who's a Christian and in the armed forces. There's a strong thread in Christian thinking and a history of pacifism. And there's famously Jesus talked about turning the other cheek and loving your enemies and so on. Some Christian groups are dead against Christians fighting in the military. But how have you managed to process that and bring those things together?
Yeah, well, these things have, vexed theologians and thinkers for a long time. And I am no theologian, but I've certainly read the Bible and tried to search for, a Christian position on this. And I think it's illustrative that nowhere does Jesus command Roman soldiers to get out of the army and leave what could be implied by such a direction as an immoral service. He tells them to stop extorting from people. So there is that example. And there's also the example of the Roman centurion who converts to Christianity. And nowhere is it clear that he feels the need to leave his service in the Roman army. I'm not suggesting that it didn't get complicated for Roman Christians as they went forward. But there's no indication that he was called to leave his military service. As to the issue of warfare and the use of force, I take the command from Jesus to turn the other cheek to be to apply to me personally, to a wrong that may have been done against me personally, and to forgive my enemies. I think that there is a really strong and biblical argument that force can be used to protect others in the service of a legitimate authority. Two leading theologians, Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas, grappled with this question and came to what has been termed the just war concept, that how can force be used justly? And then once force is being used, what are the limitations and how should it be conducted? And I think the just war principles that the Australian Defence Force applies, which are very stringent, is informed by that Christian perspective of discrimination, of not targeting innocents, of proportionality, and that it's done on the command of a legitimate authority, which is the government.
What has your experience in the armed forces taught you about human nature? And does that kind of fit with what your faith tells you about human nature?
I've deployed a couple of times. I deployed to East Timor in 2000, which was well after the violence of the independence ballot in 1999, but still dealing with the scars of that experience. Then back in 2006, where there was a breakdown in law and order and again internal strife in that country and again much suffering amongst the civilian population. And our role there was to go back and restore security and stability at the request of the government of Timor. And Afghanistan, obviously, for anyone who reads the news, has been racked by conflict for most recently the last 30 years, but it's certainly experienced conflict over many years prior to that. So I guess that those experiences have affirmed what the Bible teaches about where we're at in history. We see earthquakes and natural disasters. We see wars. We see conflict. And Jesus actually talks about this to basically calls them not to be alarmed when they see these things, because this is characteristic of the age that we live in. That helps me to understand that whilst shocking and whilst horrific, and particularly for those that are enduring and suffering, God has still got this in control. And I think many people quite understandably struggle with that, particularly after they return from their service overseas. And I have found, for me personally, the Christian faith has provided a means by which some of those injuries, those moral wounds, if you like, can be healed. That if you are burdened by guilt through a sense of moral injury that you might have experienced through your service, then you can be forgiven. And that's an amazing message for people that are carrying such burdens.
From the Centre for Public Christianity, you've been listening to Life and Faith with Simon Smart and Natasha Moore. That was Colonel Craig Bickell talking about Easter, sacrifice, and what it all means to him as an officer in the armed forces.
Now, with Easter and Anzac Day pretty close together on the calendar, we didn't want to miss the opportunity to ask Colonel Bickell about Anzac Day too. So here he is, starting with how he'll be commemorating this day.
Look, I will probably take part in a morning at dawn service with my family, and then follow that up with marching in the parades in Canberra, where I'm now posted to.
Don't imagine there's much choice, is there? You have to do this, don't you?
No, look, I think there really is a desire to get out there, and I think it's a great thing that Australian society is recognising its servicemen and women in the way that they are on Anzac Day. So I'm looking forward to being part of it.
You'll be gladly setting the alarm for 5 a.m.
Yep, I certainly will.
What does Anzac Day mean to you? Like, there is quite a significant link with Christianity there.
I mean, Anzac Day is first and foremost an opportunity for Australian society to recognise the service and sacrifice of its serving men and women. And I think there are some great parallels on the issue of sacrifice, which are rightly commemorated on Anzac Day, and the parallels being with the Christian faith, that idea of Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. Sometimes I feel, being a member in uniform, that society can sometimes put us on a pedestal that we don't deserve. And so I try, and in my conversations around Anzac Day, not only acknowledge the rightful acknowledgement of the sacrifice of serving men and women, but point to what I consider to be a greater sacrifice, which is the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And the reason why I say that's a greater sacrifice is because Australian servicemen and women serve for their Queen, their country, and their comrades. They do that willingly and they do that well. But Christ laid down his life for his enemies, which is just an incredible thing to do when I think about it. I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could willingly go to my death on a cross and lay down my life for the people that are completely opposed to what he had to come and say. And that's why that sacrifice by Christ is the perfect sacrifice, and something that we should also remember, and we do at Easter, and also rightly commemorate on Anzac Day. And you'll see that in the hymns that are often sung and the passages from Scripture that are often spoken from.